Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them!
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Uh-oh.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Which pipe is it? Anyway, this is Wretched Radio. I took a sip of the tea while the guy is blathering on about ways to communicate with us, and it went down the wrong pipe.
Yeah, I saw your face get red.
Which pipe does it go down? Does it go into your lungs? That's what I've always... It's like, did I just, like, throw tea into my lungs? Why is it that on occasion you're swallowing something and it gets kafritz in there? And then you have to hack your head off to get it up. Do you want to know what happened to me? No, Todd, we don't. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. It was 3 weeks ago that we were taking communion. And we actually take communion inside of the service as opposed to that rather inconvenient tack on after the sermon that causes everybody to go, is this going to make me late for the Cracker Barrel? We actually bake it into the service itself. I know post-sermon it is, but we like to consider it a feature, if you will, when we are tactily remembering the gospel of Jesus Christ with his body and blood for us. And I took the little wafer thing and it went down the wrong throat. Whatever that means.
The wrong throat.
Do we have wrong throats? What is that? Do we have any doctors in the house? And I'm sitting there going, oh boy, I can't make this thing move. And then I had to preach, and I thought, you know, I am going to projectile missile one of the elements of the Lord's table because it just like right now with this tea. Would you like to express yourself? No, you don't have to become Madonna. Send whatever you think is wretched to idea@wretched.org or text away. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, 877-282-2337.
So I think we do have a doctor in the house. Jason, I think, is a doctor. He wrote in with a comment about the Widowmaker we were talking about.
Right,
the other day.
With Tom Pennington.
That's right, right. So he said, what is referred to as the Widowmaker regarding the heart blockage is the left main coronary artery. This may result in VFib, but there are also other causes of VFib.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what he had.
Right. He had VFib, but we were trying to determine if that was the bad.
It's funny. Mrs. Friel and I were just talking about Tom Pennington this morning. And as best I can tell, we played his 6-minute video that they presented to his church. If you're not familiar, Tom Pennington, Countryside Bible, he was on vacation, had a Widowmaker, and he's living to tell about it. And he sounds like normal. It's amazing because the way that he described the scene, has a heart attack while out biking, his daughter immediately begins the CPR, which indicates he wasn't breathing. And then another guy jumped in. The daughter calls the 911. They come put the paddles on him and got his heart going again. So CPR, it appears, was really effective because his brain appears to have no side effects from it. And it's just amazing. And a lot of people who were very quick to respond and knew their CPR, he seems to be doing just fine. And I'm really grateful for that. And as long as we're talking about sick pastors, don't forget to be praying for our buddy Phil Johnson. He's going through it. The multiple myeloma, they believe, will go into regression so that he can die from something else. I'm not sure that sounded as good as he expressed it. In fact, the Christian Post actually picked up the story of Phil Johnson saying, I'm so grateful for God's providence that he gave me a shoulder surgery that resulted in kidney failure because they took a bunch of blood tests and it was revealed early on you got multiple myeloma, so they're able to go after it put it into regression. Be praying for our brother, Phil Johnson. We want him active for many more years. Comments. We love getting comments, whether you're a doctor or not. 877-282-2337.
Do you know CPR?
No.
I feel so unsafe working here.
I did the training a number of years ago, but I cannot say that I would remember how to do it.
You know, I don't know CPR, and my mother teaches CPR for a living.
We'll see.
And I never learned.
Mine is like, at least I have a card to say I took it once.
I never took it.
You are so without excuse. Your mom taught it?
Oh, man, I've helped her load those dummies to her classes and sat there in the back while she taught it, and I still never paid attention.
Okay. I am having such a flashback right now. It was Recessa Annie. Do you remember Recessa Annie? Did your mom use one of those?
Yes, she did. Yeah, I didn't know it had a name.
Well, that's what our teacher. This was in high school or college, whatever it was. And the guy teaching it, it's like, okay, I'm going to show you how this is done. And he comes in, gets down onto one knee next to this thing that you practice on. Annie. And he keeps yelling at the Annie ain't gonna. One Annie would have been just fine. Get to work and show us how it's done. But that was too long ago. I don't remember. I do think that somebody in our churches should be trained. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you want to be an efficient church, trained in CPR while simultaneously packing heat. I'm just making a suggestion. I want your church to run efficiently. But I do bring it up actually intentionally because there are enough incidences out there. Churches, don't think you're not vulnerable. There are people who are doing very bad things these days. Is your church equipped? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Zachary. Todd, I've been born again since 2019. Before Christ, I enjoyed the sin of secular rap music. Since being saved, I found Christian rap music that I enjoy. Is that sensual or am I just being legalistic?
Well, without listening to the music, I don't know if it's sensual because it could be Christian. And even if the lyrics aren't sexual by nature, if the music is, I'd avoid it. Just no hint of impropriety. Never putting. Guide your eyes, little children. Guard your ears, rather. Guard your eyes, because what gets in there, it does get in there. And it'll sometimes go down the wrong pipe. I just said that because it's still kind of, why does it take so long to come out? Could you Heimlich me and maybe just get all of this stuff to come flying out of me right now?
Established, I don't know this.
Whatever you put into your ears and your eyes, it does. It presses into you and it forms you and it shapes you and it molds you. So we always have to be on high alert. The lyrics might pass, but if it is sensual, stay away from it. Do things that are lofty, worthy of praise. They're going to be better for you. Sorry, I still got Andrew Walker rattling around in my brain. He was in town to talk about Christian ethics. You'll be hearing that someday. Delivered 10 lectures on it, and he was talking about how the Christian worldview is better. It offers better things. Now, we have to explain those things because most people, they seek sensual. It's fleshly. Does it just feel good? And Christians, of course, aren't opposed to pleasure done in the right context, but there are actually loftier things. They're better things. They're higher things, nobler things, like how's about being an individual who's trusted? I mean, wow, people actually trust me. How's about being an individual who has such integrity that people let you handle the money at church? Oh, well, isn't that deeper? Isn't that richer than a fleeting physical pleasure? We need to let the world know, it was a C.S. Lewis quote, that we are like, it's not that our desires that we can't have desires. It's that our desires are too low. This is a rotten paraphrase. But what do we want as human beings? We desire, does it taste good? Does it feel good? Does it smell good? Okay, those are desires. Those are fine. But That would be like a child making sandcastles in the slums in the middle of the street while there's a seashore right next door. This doesn't know it. There are values and there are experiences and there are attributes that are just better. And Christianity offers those. The world, they're just into sensual. And that means that we should be on guard for that because it's not like as Christians, we don't have any of those same desires. And so if music or a book or a Netflix show, it produces something that is sinful inside of you that is sensual, get rid of it. Now, I would also suggest this regarding the rapper music. Be listening very carefully for the lyrics. You never stop being a Berean. Just because it's Christian rap doesn't mean that it's going to be good. Hillsong! Sorry, it was still the tea stuck in my throat a little bit. Be on guard. And what you'll discover is that over the years, you become a man or a woman that people look up to, that people look to, that people call upon. And isn't that better than a fleeting sensual experience? This is Wretched Radio. Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical, teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Andrew Walker. He's one of 8 new voices joining this ministry later this year. Dr. Walker is the managing editor of World Opinions. He's also an associate professor of Christian Ethics and Public Theology. Earning his PhD from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Walker has written extensively on ethics, including God and the transgender debate, and liberty for all. His work addresses the pressing moral issues of our time with clarity and biblical conviction. And leaders like Dr. Walker are joining our ministry later this year to provide critical content for navigating today's darkened culture. Your support can help us bring even more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today. All of the details right now are available at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now a word for our rapper critic expert, Jimmy the Hicks.
Yes.
This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you had a comment on the Christian rapper music?
I sure do. I don't know a lot about it.
Well, feel free to speak then. And do it really with a loud voice. That is a pastor's trick.
That's right.
If you're not sure about it, get louder.
Well, you know, over the years, I've not heard a ton of Christian rap, but what I have heard, it's always struck me is that there is a whole lot of time spent on the talking about the part, this is who I was before God saved me, mm-hmm. and a whole lot less time spent on the grace and who I am now. So almost like a celebration of sin.
That would be a problem.
Yeah.
I think some of us have seen that with testimonies where it's like, okay, enough, dude. I get it. You were a crackhead. You were licentious. Okay. We don't need that much detail to understand. We all get it. Yeah, so I would say if the rap music, whatever song it happens to be, is more of a celebration of sin, I wouldn't say that it's a sinful rap song per se, but it's probably just not the best. It's not that we want to ignore talking about our past lives, but I think that there's a little bit of tension when it comes to a testimony and talking about your past life, because you don't want to be celebrating sin or focusing that much on sin or even use it as a calling card for credibility. Like I was really good at sinning. That could actually be a sinful motive. And we've heard those testimonies and we thought they're just a little bit off. But the tension is the more we talk about how sinful we were, the more glory God receives. Such were some of you. So there is a tension there. Finding that, I don't think that there's a perfect formula for it. But if a song or a testimony, if you start getting feedback that it's like, dude, it sounds like you're liking sin more than the Savior, you should probably do a little adjusting. 877-282-2337 if you'd like to offer your rapper critiques.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, is there a difference between how men and women should go about sharing the gospel and with whom? What practical advice can you give a woman who wants to engage in evangelism in her community?
There are very few rules about content that I would change. The only one that comes to mind would be in opening up the law in talking about lust or adultery and fornication. I think you need to just be wise and practice some common sense and be appropriate. It could be deemed, whatever the gender roles are here in this instance, it could be deemed to be sexist somehow, or it could be hashtag Me Too business. So be wise regarding that particular aspect of opening up the law. But otherwise, the contents are the same. And it's not just genders. It's every worldview. And so often we hear, how do you witness to a Buddhist? Well, the same way you witness to a Hindu, the same way you witness to a Muslim. The message doesn't change because of the ears of the hearer. It's law, it's gospel, it's repentance and faith. That's it. Follow that and you'll do just fine. So contents, with that one exception, I don't think change. Now, if you're getting into what about just witnessing to somebody the opposite gender, period, I suspect that underlying that question is 1 Timothy 2:12. Is a woman usurping authority over a man by witnessing to a man? And I would say no. First of all, it's not in the context of the church. It's sharing the gospel. It's not usurping authority. It's not preaching. It's doing what we're all commanded to do. Go and make disciples. Make the most of every opportunity to share great news with people. So if the concern is, am I sinning by violating the roles of women? I would say, I don't think you are. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
No, I think that pretty much hits the nail
on
the head.
So just say it. You think I'm right?
I think you're right, Todd.
You know, I almost bought it, but there was it wasn't like a full dousing of sarcasm, but you just, You're right, Todd. There was just enough in there.
Just enough.
To make me realize that wasn't sincere, man. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is from Adrian. Todd, I have a married friend who says that she does not want to have her own biological children because pregnancy sounds bad. She says she would rather adopt children instead. And I don't know how to encourage her or what even to pray for her concerning this.
Is she single or married? Do we know?
She said she has a married friend.
Oh, it's a married friend. Okay. Uh-huh. And so, she doesn't want to go through it.
Right. She doesn't want to go through the pregnancy because it sounds bad. She would rather adopt. And she just...
Then do that. All right. There's a fair amount of layers to this cake that you'd want to cut through. And you can pick which order you do that. But I would ask, why are you so afraid? Why is that so bad to you that you're willing to forego something that you clearly desire? You want to adopt a child, so you want that. But because of what? It's causing you to say, not going to do that, because it could be a faith issue, it could be a trust issue, it could be a lack of understanding of sovereignty, it could be a pride issue. Hey, it's going to wreck, I'm not going to look this way anymore. And the outer appearance weighs heavier in the heart of the individual who doesn't want to alter their figure. So sensitively, thoughtfully, I would dive into the heart to figure out what's the issue? And then as far as adopting, I think a couple can certainly make that decision. That's not like second class family. You've adopted a child. I say rock on, but I would still want to explore that, because I get it. It's pregnancy. It's right up there with kidney stones. I get it. Although I haven't gotten the kidney stones yet, because if I had kidney stones, believe me, you'd know about it. Why do I know you'd know about it? Because everybody I know who has had kidney stones has told me about it over and over and over again. Dive into the heart. And if I could do a shout out about adoption, please make sure you understand the issues behind adoption. I am not saying don't adopt, but I am saying that you should come to a really clear understanding of what you sometimes are adopting into your home with adopted children. If you'd like, at the YouTube machine, just type in, actually, if you just type in reactive attachment disorder, you'll probably find our video, or Wretched Reactive Attachment Disorder, so that you can be fully prepared. This is one of the issues. I bang this drum regularly because it is great that we promote adoption in the evangelical community, but there's got to be full disclosure. Sometimes, oftentimes, maybe even most times, if not all the time, there are degrees of very challenging issues that you're bringing into your house. Be aware. And furthermore, if your church is not willing to commit to supporting you as a family that adopts a child, think long and hard about it, because you're going to need church support. You're going to need it, because it does come with some special challenges. 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Oh, I feel it. Dad joke.
What?
You're going to tell a dad joke.
How do you know?
I know you. I can tell you weren't sincere with, you're right, Todd, because I just a little did. Hey, Todd, do you ever talk like that? You're setting me up for something. Is it a dad joke or isn't it?
So why did the hawk land?
There it is. See?
Go
ahead and say it this time. I'll bet you can maybe find it in your heart to actually say, you're right. Go ahead and say it.
You're right. So why did the hawk land on top of the church?
Why did the hawk land on top of the church? I don't know, Jimmy, why?
Because it's a bird of prey.
That's what I wait for. The only reason I enjoy your dad jokes is just watching the strange joy it brings you.
They're so funny.
But see, okay, I'm the worst audience for telling jokes, because my immediate response is there's P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y. Anyway, they're two different. See, that's sometimes
You just ruined the moment.
Sorry.
Speaking of sarcasm, Todd, this is from William. There's a deacon in my church who always makes sarcastic comments. It seems like about everything. And while I understand sarcasm, I don't believe Sunday morning worship to be the time and place for it. How do I approach him?
Lovingly, respectfully, maybe doesn't even know. Maybe doesn't even think it's a big deal. If we're having these sorts of encounters with one another because we want the best for the person, that just changes the dynamic so much. And you can start in a very Pauline kind of way with a compliment. Hey, dude, love so much of what you do. I wonder, though, are you aware that sometimes when you say something like this, it just doesn't quite seem to feel right? Has anybody ever brought that up to you? Because most likely, if somebody is hyper sarcastic, I can't imagine that being a feature of anybody, but most likely somebody's already told him. And if you're being loving about it, not, you know, you're kind of sarcastic, which would be probably a little bit sarcastic, they'll probably receive it well. Bring examples, be loving, want their best. And those types of conversations should go well. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has signed a resolution calling for 30 days of prayer and fasting throughout the state beginning the 1st of July. The resolution was passed by the Tennessee General Assembly, and it implores Tennesseans to seek God's mercy and healing for many of societal's ills plaguing the state, including violence, human trafficking, drug addiction, and corruption. And 9-1 can speak that there is a whole lot of all of that going on in the state of Tennessee. And moving on, recent polling data suggests that support for the LGBT agenda may be waning in both the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., approval for same-sex marriage has dropped to its lowest level since the Supreme Court's infamous Obergefell decision in 2015. And in Canada, a slim majority now opposes transgender bathroom policies and allowing biological males to compete in women's sports. Maybe a little bit premature to declare a sea change of public opinion, but it seems that the relentless push by LGBT activists starting to backfire. Well, at least we can hope. Speaking of the transgender movement overreach, a high school track coach in Oregon has been fired for daring to suggest a common sense solution to the problem of biological males dominating women's sports. John Parks is his name. The former coach had written to state officials proposing the creation of an open division for transgender athletes while keeping biological males out of female competitions. And for that heinous thought crime, Parks was promptly shown the door. And moving to Nebraska, where the battle over abortion is heating up with multiple constitutional amendments vying for a spot on the November ballots, a pro-abortion coalition is pushing for an amendment that would enshrine a nearly unlimited right to abortion in the state constitution. And in response, pro-life groups have put forth two competing amendments, one that would ban most abortions after the first trimester and another that would recognize the personhood of all preborn children from the moment of conception. Yeah, that's the one I would support. There's a July 5th deadline for signature gathering, and it's fast approaching, so hopefully the pro-life amendments make the ballot. Finally, in the development that will surprise absolutely none of you, the Trudeau government in Canada has awarded $440,000 to the so-called Canadian Anti-Hate Network, a group known for smearing pro-life and pro-family organizations as purveyors of hate. Seems a bit contradictory, doesn't it? It's because it is. Their idea of fighting bigotry apparently includes denouncing anyone who opposes abortion, same-sex marriage, and transgender ideology. Upside down in Canada, upside down in the U.S., upside down in the U.K. It's just a brave new world we're now living in. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now another breaking rapper. story from our very own in-house rapper critic fellow, Jimmy the Handsome Hicks. This is Wretched Radio. You found out about the Humble Beast?
I did, yes. They're an actual record label.
There's a number of artists there. It's not like, I don't even know if there's like a Humble Beast rapper fellow, but it's a label. Now this goes back, yikes, about 20 years ago. I think they even had a rap song about law and grace, the law gospel distinction. They were quoting the Puritans. They were on fire about 20 years ago, but they're still going. I can't vouch for them today. Hopefully they've towed the orthodox line. But the Humble Beast still doing the Christian rap.
It appears so.
Cool.
It appears so. But can you really be humble if you call yourself humble? Is that being humble?
Yes, it can be.
Okay.
You're not going to like this answer. Jesus called himself humble.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He preached on this, I think, a week or two ago. And I think it was Warren Wiersbe who pointed this out. Jesus said, come unto me, Matthew 11, about 28. Come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. For I am meek. I've got power under control. And I'm humble at heart. And nobody has tagged him on it. No, I have never read anybody or seen anybody make a YouTube video that goes, yeah, Jesus called himself humble, right? Using sarcasm, by the way. Never, because he was. He was the Messiah. He was the conquering king who came in on a donkey, meek and lowly. The world has never tagged Jesus on a claim that normally, you were right, Jimmy, you should... Jimmy, I'm really humble. No, Rick, seriously, I'm super, super humble. You'd go, if you got to tell me you're humble, you're not. But in Jesus' instance, it was not a brag. It was truth. It was reality. And speaking of sarcasm and Jesus, for the fellow who's utilizing a lot of sarcasm in the church service, I said that you should talk to that individual about it because if they're using it as a serrated edge to rip and shred, or that's too much of it, you should talk to them lovingly. But having said that, sarcasm does have a place, even in the pulpit. And this is backed up biblically. It's not just Paul who was sarcastic. And he was. Go read 2 Corinthians. Woo! Woo! It is like... And somebody might say, well, sarcasm has no place in an epistle by an apostle. Well, he used it. So it does have a use. It just needs to be done thoughtfully. It does need to be done carefully. So if that person is out of balance, using it poorly, it's hurtful, or it just distracts from the service, and it's not used for a purpose, then it should stop. But that doesn't mean that sarcasm is disqualified because Jesus himself used it. I want you to imagine how sarcastic this was. So often when it comes to Semitic humor, We don't like, but there were times Jesus used humor and he used sarcasm also. And you might not find it a knee slapper, but it was in the context. The religious leaders, they were proud to tell you how knowledgeable they were in the scriptures. They were the law people. We're going to tell you about the laws of Moses, the scribes, the theological lawyers. They were the experts. And Jesus said, haven't you read? That's sarcasm. That's pretty biting sarcasm to boot. Haven't you read? Which one of these miracles are you mad at me for? Which one of these good deeds have I done? Tell me, because I'm a little confused about which good deed is getting me into hot water here. It wasn't said maybe with the same sarcastic tone that we use here. But he used it, and so we have permission. It just needs to be done wisely and well. Jimmy, I think that group that did those videos, I can't even remember what they were called, the name of this group. I think they went out of business. They were making YouTube videos. Do you remember this was the group that did the video on sarcasm? Like the first time sarcasm was used, somebody had to be the first one, causing a great deal of confusion for people.
Yes,
I remember that. That was hysterical.
Yeah.
I don't know if all of their stuff was as clean and as witty, but wow, that was a brilliant bit. They're gone. Bummer. But Humble Beast isn't. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Caleb. Todd, my dad recently said that he thought pastors should talk about the news and politics from the pulpit. Is that biblical?
Depends. It can be, certainly. In fact, there are times that it should be. There are some times that just demand, I think, that a pastor consider veering away from an expository approach. First of all, I think that you maybe can feel a little better about that. I think you can hold a tension of being an expositor, but not so committed to it as if it is the only way to possibly preach. And if you step outside of your exposition, it's like a compromise or it's a lesser sermon. If you read a lot of sermons, I was just looking through the Westminster Pulpit. G. Campbell Morgan. It was not expository. Now, his preaching was expository, but it wasn't line after line. It wasn't verse after verse. He just preached on what he thought his people needed to hear, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think it was Martin Luther who said that there are times when a preacher who doesn't hit the issues of the day right between the eyes, he's negligent in duty. So, for instance, when the COVID stuff was going on and people losing their jobs and we were so consumed by it, weren't we? The conversations about it. You had the jab issue, just the distancing and all of those things. For a pastor to not preach on that, I think I'll just say it's a mistake, I think. Now, you could say, well, in 2 weeks, my text actually lends to that, and I'm going to get to that. And I appreciate the line. I really do appreciate this, because even as we're making our way through the Gospel of Matthew, there have been several passages that I wouldn't have picked, because I would have thought, well, of all the things, that one's not all that important, considering the needs of our body, where we're at in the life of this church. But God has it next, so that's what we're preaching. I think that that is a great principle to hold on to, but I don't think it should be inviolatable. Inviolable? You can break it, is what I'm saying, because of the need of the day. Now, should a pulpit become a news source and a commentary on all the stories? I don't think so. I think it needs to be big, and it should be congregational consuming. It needs to be that. Otherwise, you're probably just going to be participating. Get a podcast. Do that there. Make a YouTube video. But preach the word. Address the issues as you see fit. And I think I would also just finally encourage, there are some times when you really ought to do that. We got an election coming up. And you can talk about the Johnson Amendment, but we're looking, this is, anybody not thinking about it? Anybody? Totally. Wait, an election? I had no idea what was going on. Do I think that you should get into a lot of the details and some of the conservative concerns? No. What should you talk about then? Well, the moral issues, the biblical issues. Look, we're looking at a different vote. This is, I can't recall any other election where the lesser of two evils principle weren't more front and center, because we're looking at two candidates that are not fully pro-life. Now, I don't know for sure on some of the other issues that are of concern to us, but I'm going to be watching that debate like a hawk, not because I'm looking for the zingers, but because I want to hear where they are at on biblical issues. And so, Pastor, you can, with the Johnson Amendment, you can sort that. You'll do that the way that you deem best. But that's something we're all interested in. So what would cause a pastor to comment on it? That it rises to the level of, I think that it is needed from the pulpit for the sake of the church to hear about this. You know, don't get into the some of the stuff that's so sensational these days on the internet. Does a pastor need to talk about the Trump trials? Well, I guess if you deem it, but I don't see it particularly, make sure that it qualifies and then do it. And don't sound like a politician. preach it like a Christian. Don't preach it like, hey, you know what? He sounds an awful lot like the Daily Wire to me. When you're sounding like the Daily Wire from the pulpit, you probably need to do some tweaking and adjusting. And just read this recently, too. This is a reminder that so many sermons. Oh, I know where I read it.
On the Daily Wire.
I had written it.
Oh.
I was looking through something that I had written, and so I'm just quoting myself. There was this guy who wrote that if your sermon could be preached by a Jewish rabbi, that ain't a Christian sermon. Pep talk, moralisms, most likely legalism. But if Tony Robbins could jump into your pulpit and say what you're going to say, or Ben Shapiro for that matter, or anybody from the Daily Wire, probably missing the mark. This is Wretched Radio.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in, they assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched Store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't make me turn this program around. This is Wretched Radio. Send stuff. Wow, that was kind of aggressive. Send stuff, please, to idea@wretched.org. I'm agitating myself even as I speak. Don't forget questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks. 877-282-2337.
Oh, thanks for stopping. And this is from Justin. Todd, a ministry that I've supported for years has announced that it will invest in AI, an AI that is supposed to teach others the gospel. Their goal, they say, is to amaze people with this. And they claim that the church will be left behind unless we invest in AI like everyone else is doing. I feel opposed to it because I believe that the Bible is clear about humans discipling other humans. I also kind of worry that this ministry is exhibiting worldly thinking.
I can't comment on the worldly thinking or not, but should we be utilizing things of the world to propagate the gospel? I say, as a rule, yeah, we're doing it right now. Radio, social media, YouTube videos, a lot of people get saved on the internet. A lot of people. So maybe we're so unfamiliar with the AI at this point that we're like, whoa, what is this thing? And that's the right attitude to have, by the way. There are a lot of ethical considerations surrounding AI. Even the current administration, just this week, I believe, released 8 rules that corporations should follow if they're going to use AI. Even the heathens understand this thing could get out of control. So I think we Christians, we can and should be having these conversations to figure out, all right, how can we utilize something that is neither sinful nor necessarily edifying? It goes either way here. How do we utilize it? We've already crossed that bridge with so much technology. There are Christian programs on television. What about the AI? I would say this, if you're concerned about it, that maybe this could get out of control, Then wait and support it maybe as it progresses to see where this ministry is going with it and how they're going to utilize it. I would say this, the argument that we have to do it or we'll be left behind, I don't think that's a powerful ethical argument for it. I think we need to be asking different questions like, will we be compromising in any way? Will this wrongly present the gospel? And then the issue that this fellow brought up is, what about humans discipling humans? Well, if AI replaces that, that's a problem because humans should be discipling humans. And I don't think anybody should be at all confused. If you're watching a lot of social media, you're learning perhaps from somebody, but you're not being discipled. Discipled, that's a mano a mano. That's a face-to-face affair in the context, proverbially, of the local church. So having said all that, let's be asking the ethical questions that surround AI. We should be able to answer them better than anybody else. Let's see if we can utilize it well, because I say, if we can harness that bad boy and we can see people getting saved, because we know that does happen on the YouTube and the social media stuff and the Google machine, people reading articles, then I say, let's do it. Let's just do it biblically. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, I was just wondering if you had any advice on dealing with grief over apostate friends.
We should have more of it, to be honest. You can kind of forget, whoa, people are perishing. I think it's actually good for us regularly to have our hearts broken about the fate of the ungodly because it motivates us to evangelize and share the good news. So I would never want to minimize that grief or that concern for the lost. I would say we should cultivate it. Now, how do you get over it? Well, the way that you do with any other grieving, time, Bible applied to the situation, and I would never want to expedite somebody's grieving. It would be a very rare day when I would say, hey, that person's grieving too long. I've heard that. Oof. I've even heard with some Christian, not biblical, Christian counseling, you should mourn for this long. If somebody's mourning for this long, then they're sinning. They've got issues. Whoa. Hold the phone, Henrietta. Everybody's built differently. How many different dynamics and scenarios are there? Wouldn't it actually be weird if somebody married for 50 years loses their spouse and it's like, no big whoop, I'm off to Disney. You'd go, whoa, 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 whoa. Let people grieve. Let them have it out. Could it get to the point where you have to say, friend, I think that, you know, we should probably talk about turning the corner here. Yeah, but we need to do it better than say, I don't know, Job's friends. Grieving is something that is human. Our Savior grieved. And guess what he grieved over when he entered Jerusalem? Oh, Jerusalem, how many? I want to save you. That was a heavy-hearted Savior that we see. Remember, he splugnidzomide. His guts were moved. And it was over the lostness of people. And so if you're talking about grieving over a particular individual, go through the process. But as a general principle, I would say to all of us, if we have not been grieving over the eternity of lost people, we're probably out of whack. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, there are so many programs in educational...
What kind of...
I need to go to one of them. Educational institutions that charge money to understand the Bible. Is there anywhere in the Bible that prohibits financial transactions with the charging of money to others who want to better understand the Bible?
Yeah, if you're hoodwinking them. If you're using them... That was the table tipping that we see in the temples with Jesus. It wasn't necessarily that people were there providing. They came, they didn't have the sacrifice. That could actually be a service, but they were there to ka-ching. So any institution that is trying to utilize Christianity for a profit center, But I think institutions, they can do commerce. I think educational institutes, they can charge people. They got bills to pay. And we see this even in the context of the church. The pastor should be compensated. He's working. He should be rewarded. The ox that treads the grain gets to eat some of it. So there's nothing wrong with financial exchanges. The issue is heart and why we are doing them. That's why I know some people aren't comfortable with this. A bookstore inside of a church, no problem. If it's really genuinely there to be a service, rock on. A Christian organization, an institution that charges for it, rock on. Now, having said that, I think every Christian institution, organization, and ministry that has commerce involved with the running of the organization needs to regularly be asking the question about personal motives, because it's very easy to be, hey, what's the budget? Where are we at with this? How much has come in? What are we charging for the... Got to always be watching your hearts. And I do think that you probably need to be watching the profit margins, that if we're charging as much as the pagans are and it could be done for less, then I think we should be a bit of a hallmark in that regard. We should be a little bit different than the world because we want everybody to have this. And so I think that they're okay in doing it. I just think, though, that there needs to be a mindfulness that, wow, when money gets involved in ministry, dangers are everywhere, Will Robinson. 877-282-2337.
All right, from Anonymous, Todd, our adult daughter has self-identified as transgender and self-diagnosed with multiple personalities. My question is, how do we biblically navigate this? We can't agree with her lifestyle, of course, and for the safety of our younger children, we feel like we have to keep her at arm's length.
Yeah.
Any advice?
Yeah, it depends on the age of those kids. You know the situation better, so it's a little dangerous to speak about somebody's particular situation, but I think that there are some principles that need to be applied in different ways that perhaps are helpful. It's your daughter. Love your daughter. Be involved in your daughter's life. That does not mean that you are endorsing their lifestyle. And if you are confused that they're confused about your attitude, then lovingly state, hey, let's just kind of clear the deck here a little bit regarding our relationship. We love you to pieces. That is never going to change. And from this moment on, we are going to be lavishing love on you as our child, just like we would with any of our children, whatever their identification happens to be, because we love you. Just want to make sure you don't confuse that with affirmation of your choices. We good to go? Terrific. Give me a hug, honey. What about the younger kids? I do think you need to have rules to make sure that they aren't being too heavily influenced by an older sibling who is likely to have a negative influence on them. You can have those rules. Simultaneously, it's an opportunity to teach the younger kids, it depends on the age, to talk about it. Teach them, share with them what's going on. Hey, your older brother, your older sister, this is what they're, we know that that isn't biblical. We know that that's a sin. And that means our sibling, they need to get saved. But what they're doing and what you're going to be seeing is bad. So we're not going to emulate it. We're not going to become infatuated because they're an older sibling with influence. We're going to recognize it's a sin, but simultaneously, we're going to love that sinner. Should that individual be a danger to the children? Well, then you would keep your kids safe from them, just like you'd keep them safe from anybody. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.